It's Monday, the 22nd of June. Fuck you and your cancel. Greetings from Podcastville. Before we even start this motherfucker, I want to give a couple of shout-outs real quick. First of all, Onnit.com, the best supplements in the market, period. Shroom Tech, Alpha Brain, fucking MCT oil, kettlebells, they got everything. You got a headache, whatever, they got Alpha Brain. How do you think I got my fucking head together? I was walking around with this fucking COVID dust, this psyche shit. I had to get back to normal. Alpha Brain was there. Here's the funny thing. You don't like Alpha Brain, they give you 100% money back guarantee, and you can keep the product. This is who I want to do business with. Go to Onnit.com and press in.
Church.
And get 10% off your first order delivered to your motherfucking house. Number two, CBDLion.com. How important is CBD at this time? Well, inflammation, pain, anxiety, get the tincture. CBD Lion has it all. Gummy bears, bath salts, fucking vapor pens, shatter, gummy bear, fucking strawberry, raspberry, orange. Listen, go to CBDLion.com, read up on what they do, read up on the third-party lab results. This ain't some swami from fucking salami at the liquor store. This is the real deal taking care of you. This is Uncle Joey taking care of you. So go to CBDLion.com and press in.
Church.
And get 20% off your first order delivered right to the crib. Kick this motherfucking mule, Lee.
Oh, shit.
It all starts fucking today, all right?
No more fucking excuses. This is the year of the fucking soldier. We're going in like fucking Marines, you understand me?
Welcome to church, motherfucker.
Monday, the 22nd, and you're still locked up, and you got to put your face mask on. Take that, cocksuckers. It's a beautiful motherfucking day to be alive. My guest is my brother, longtime fucking gangster Felipe Esparza.
What's up, fool?
Former winner of Last Comic Standing and all that bullshit. Now he's just back to being an OG gangster on the road. It's good to have you back. The Christ Killer's here. We're ready to go for all you motherfuckers that thought you could hold this down. It's over. Listen, the reason why I told my life story on here was for two reasons. To let you know you could do whatever the fuck you want to do with your life. It doesn't matter if you have felonies, addictions, whatever. You get your life together to move forward. And it's to come clean and use you guys as psychiatrists. So somebody wants to use a tape against me that happened 22 years ago, a tape that has been up for 10 years. How boring is your fucking life? You know what I'm saying? Get yourself together. I've made amends. And I've tried my hardest to be the man my mother wanted me to be. Besides that, I don't know you motherfuckers, nothing, or no comedians or nothing. So without that, that's it. Felipe, talk to me, bad motherfucker.
What's up, fool, man?
You know, we're here.
So glad to be here, man. Canceled culture. I'm sad, bro.
It's very sad.
I can't even get canceled.
No. I canceled myself 10 bro, years ago when I told
I'm not even famous
stories.
Enough to be canceled.
And if they do, who gives a fuck? We're stand-ups. We're not actors. I'm not Jeremy Piven.
That's funny. Before they were showing the videos, I remember somebody's bad tweets came up from 8 years ago. Actually, Melissa Villaseñor, when she was about to go on SNL, some Latina, Chicana, socialist, warrior, woke, Latinx lady, she said something about Melissa Villaseñor that she said, you know, she's a young comic. She wrote it. She apologized. But she tried to cancel her and try to get her off SNL. And I'm like, what? So I tweeted myself, you know, in her defense. I remember I tweeted, hey, man, if you ever try to go back to all my tweets, all you're going to see is really bad grammar.
That's it from the beginning.
I can't, I, you know, people would call you on bad spelling. And a lot of people could spell. We just write so fast. We write without thinking. Like, I don't proof check.
Me neither.
Sometimes I forget. Sometimes I say I'm going over there. I might not stay there. It just looks like I'm going somewhere.
Why do you think I hate text messaging? You ever text somebody?
I don't text.
Why do you think you text somebody and you look up and instead of saying boy, it says ball, and now they think you're saying something wrong to them or something? So I don't, and I got no glasses half the time.
Neither do
I. So I don't even, I got just disconnected the thing. What am I going to get text messages for? But people can bother me? I don't need the people bothering me in text messages. I can't see it. And when I would send back, I don't like people texting me for business.
Oh.
If you're going to want to do business, you got to call me. What's been going on?
The worst, vegan? Hell yeah.
Cocksucker.
The worst text you can ever get or first email anywhere. Can I ask you a question? You just dated, you motherfucker. Get to the question. Can I ask you a question? Or when they text me, can I ask you a question? Or they call me and leave a message, can I call you and ask you a question? You did text me one time, bro. That was when I was not picking up my phone and you were worried. You said, how many times do I have to call you, cocksucker?
The truth.
That's true, though, man. I've been doing great, man. I'm staying home. I've been walking my dogs. I've been getting up early, 6 o'clock in the morning every day.
This is the first time you've been home at night in how many years?
Man, this is the first time I've been at home in ever, dude. It's the longest I've been without doing stand-up comedy.
How many years have you been involved in comedy?
21 years.
Can you imagine that? After 20 years, shutting your lights out. That's why I understand the pain people are in. That for 20 years, they had a day job, and now they got to work out of the house or not work at all. Or this bothered me on every level because people lost their jobs just like we did. We didn't fucking, you know, we're not better than anybody else. We lost our fucking jobs. We don't know when it's coming back. Yeah, they're doing comedy in Texas and Arizona and Florida. They're jumping up and down, but the hospitals are filled up. So eventually they're going to have to close them. They're going to push these ones back. So you have to accept that we're going to live in a COVID comedy culture.
And then I when people say that we're all in this together, then you get the haters. Oh, really? You make $1 million a year, or you make $7 million, you make $85,000. I make $30,000. How are we in this together? People don't understand, man, that people who are in movies, just say, like, for example, Arnold Schwarzenegger. He makes movies. His movies are in Paramount. Paramount is closed, okay? Those producers are still making millions of dollars, but there's still shoeshine guys in that walking around that studio, shoeshining shoes, bro. There's still people out there making pizzas. There's a lot of people who work in the kitchen at Warner Brothers who are out of a job. So yeah. Are we in this together or not?
And you know what? Let me tell you something. And you've been acting for a while, and I've been acting for a while. Is there any money in acting?
Hell no.
There's no money. There's no money in acting. So when you really,
I don't care how many times you see me on Hentified on Netflix, I only got paid once.
Once, you know, it's the weirdest thing that there's no money in fucking acting no more.
To be honest, it made me feel not as bad about like not being rich now, because I can't imagine having a $10,000 a month mortgage or having a Tesla that I have to pay off. Like my
people really, when people wake up in the mornings and they say, "Oh, I want to be rich. I wish I was rich." That's a horrible statement to say. I want you to say, how can I work myself to have money? Not that I want to be rich. People think that because being rich, they think of rich as having no more problems.
No more problems. Everything's paid for.
You ever wake up and your fucking glass is broken on your car?
Just happened, yeah.
Just happened, okay? You go upstairs and part of you does the math in your head. What's it going to cost you? I got to call in sick for work now. You just lost another 50. Da, 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 da. And the first thing that comes to mind is, if I was rich, I wouldn't have any of these problems. Guess what? You're going to have 10 times more problems. For years, I thought, I want to be rich. I want to be rich. I want to be rich. And then I figured out that being poor made me happier. Because the best times I had in my life were hooking up with you on a Tuesday night when you would tell me, bro, I got you a green burrito. I fought for you, bro. the kitchen was...
I got you a green burrito with green hot sauce and pork on top.
The kitchen would be closed and the fucking light would still be on a little box with a burrito. It wasn't... I did comedy. When I first started doing comedy, I knew there was no money. I knew that going in. And I told myself after 4 years, there ain't no money. My first feature spot was $450, opening up for Lori Kilmartin in Seattle. Feature spot. There ain't no money. No, there's no plane ticket. They didn't give you nowhere to stay. It was $450. Do what you want to do. You stay in a box outside, we don't give a fuck. So I always knew there was no dough in it. But guess what there was? There was compassion. When I went down there, that burrito would be waiting for me, that little green chili burrito. My point is that I couldn't imagine just being an actor. Right?
I know. Even when we were performing at the improv, when we were allowed to perform at the improv in the beginning, It was they were only giving us $15.
$15?
And we never saw the check, because even when we saw the check, it came out of taxes, $7. Oh, I went there, bro. Let me tell you, man. I went there for the shrimp fettuccine and the side bread, dog. Those shrimp were huge. I remember when, and they made sure that the comedian that was performing only ate. And I remember one time Joe Diaz had his big plate, and he had Gavin, and he had Josh all around. Josh Wolf all around his plate. He goes, "Come on, cocksuckers! If Bud Freeman passes by right now, he's gonna take my plate away."
What's the Spanish waiter?
Oh man, he's still there.
You give him $20. You watch him go to work.
Is the older gentleman?
Yeah,
he's like really skinny.
Yeah.
Oh my, he's always there. He's always the fastest.
He's been there since 1997.
And they open, bro.
Wow.
And his motto is. Tell him, Felipe, a la orden.
A la orden.
That's Spanish shit.
What does that mean?
And at your service.
At your service.
Oh, shit. And hasn't
a la orden. When he meets you, he comes up to you and says, Lee, Sayat, ¿cómo está? Yes, a la orden. And he comes and brings you a menu, and you feel like you deserve to eat there. No matter if you're going up first in front of a black audience, if you're following Damon Wayans all the way at the end. For 1 minute, he takes your mind off of comedy. Wait till he brings that bread to the table. And you haven't eaten since 3:30 in the afternoon. And he brings butter. And then he'll go, "You want more bread?" Yeah. You know, this is what it's all about.
For real,
this
man.
This is what comedy, you see the humanities.
I will come into the improv kind of fucked up, and I will see him, like, dude, he's like Hunchback, bro, with five plates.
Yeah.
He's one of those dudes, you know, that respects work. Like, you know, like some people, like, once their job is done, they'll stand around and do nothing. This guy will find a little broom, bro, and start sweeping a little corner or wiping a little grease off the side, you know, watching. And he's keeping an eye on everything, man.
He's really sharp. And you see him now, I give him a big hug.
Don Joey, ¿cómo estás, Don Joey?
Armando, whatever his name is, I give him a big hug. The manager has also been there for 20 years.
And the bartender too, right? And they just have a thing for him?
Yeah, they just had a thing for him. I couldn't go. It was a Monday, like at 6. But the improv, that family over there, that guy is from Boulder. So I hit it off with him right away. He's still the manager there, the kitchen manager, the floor manager.
That'll be a really sad part about restaurants closing. Because, I mean, I was a server for years. And, yeah, a lot of people look at it as like a job you skip over. But you're right. There's some people who take... Like, those jobs very seriously, and, like, they're amazing.
And you know servers. When you're there, getting served.
And they make tons of money.
Tons, because they don't treat anybody like anybody else does. When you have them, you know you've been getting taken care of. You know, last night, two nights ago, I had the baby. We were going home. My daughter, the baby, she's not a fucking baby. And I stopped at Yum Yum Donuts.
Mm.
And... Some late, you know, people are calling in the donut orders. I want to take them and smack them. This is how white they are where I live. They actually have this Spanish lady. And again, do you know how Spanish? She barely knows English. And I walk in there. Last week, I walk in there 2 weeks ago with my daughter to get her a donut. And there she is on the phone with somebody. Hello, coffee? What do you mean, cappuccino? I do not know cappuccino. And the people are like, yeah, we want a double mocha. And then, you know, they show up and this lady doesn't speak English. She just put cream in your coffee. What mocha? It's Yum Yum Donuts. What cappuccino are you talking about? What frappuccino? What flat white? There's no flat white at fucking Yum Yum Donuts.
No.
So they got her on the phone talking to Spanish, ordering like glaze. And she's looking and she's going, no, just glazed. And they're like, what about this? And she's like, no. Just glaze. I'm dying because they're white. They don't know that she don't even know what they're talking about. No. Sandwiches. Sandwiches. And people, and all of a sudden I'm like, hold. And as soon as I walk in, she goes, hold on, please. And she puts them on hold and she goes, oh my.
No,
and she'll
no.
come right over and take care of me. Let me tell you something. That's the difference. I don't care about the guy calling in the order. I care about the live guy. He's more important to me. That's money right there. I got to deliver food to this schmucko. 1,000 things could happen. I got to pay a driver. I get hit with a bolt of lightning. The money is right there, so take care of me. You ever walk into a place and the guy's on the phone and you wait 4 or 5 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
Right there, that's in my old world, that's fired. You're fired.
Or what if they answer the phone when you're there?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. When they answer a personal call?
Oh, no, I just want another order.
Fired.
Or they're in a bad mood, but they're smart. Their bad mood is still when they take in your order. Sometimes I feel like telling, listen, bitch, I don't give a fuck how your day is going. When you're working, you fucking give me a little smile
and a respect
and take my order. And you know what? If you're nice to me, let me tell you, man. I see people pissed off, like they just been yelled at, but then they come back with me. And they're really nice to me, bro. I put them to us. Listen, man, fuck that guy, bro. You're better than this. And I give him a little 5 or a little 10, bro.
Yeah,
something like that. Or say, man, you smoke weed? Yeah. All right, man. There's this spot over here where they sell the best shit. If I go there at 3, if you're there at 3, you know, I'll buy you something. Whatever.
You know, you got to realize one thing, that these people. And people are going to get angry that I said this. Yes, we opened up too early. A lot of businesses have opened up too early. Unless you know, you don't know. Go ask those businesses. Go sit outside those businesses and see how much of a change it's made that they've opened up early. It hasn't made that much of a difference. They're still only making anywhere from 100 to 2 to 3 to 500 a day, which is 70-80% less to what they're making. They opened up too early. There's no money. There's not that much money going around right now. The average American isn't lighting cigars and buying houses right now. You know, they're going from paycheck to paycheck. They're getting unemployment. God bless them. They're getting their stimulus check. You know, I don't even know how we got to this conversation. This reef is good.
We're talking about the little man.
But
the waiters who are missing out on his money.
When I go to these, I always thought that, you know, when these restaurants open, they're having a hard time right now, guys. The weed store I go to, Urban Trees, I love them to death. Best weed store around. They're having a hard time. People aren't going down there. It's not because the weed ain't good. You know what I'm saying? You can see the weed is on fire. Comes with labels. It's that the money ran out. Cinco de Mayo weekend. May 6th is when people realized what the fuck was going on. And guess what? Now they're about to pay a fourth rent.
Jesus.
Next week, most Americans are about to pay a fourth rent with no paycheck. How do you think the overall morale is? How do you think the fucking... Why do you think I come here every Wednesday and fucking Monday and Wednesday? Because I know, and I want them to know that I was that person. I'm there with you. Our morale is down. We got nowhere to go at night. What do you think? This has been fucking fun and jokes for me? I have been going out every night since 1979. And now you want to come out with cancel culture in the worst time of the world when we're supposed to be loving people. We're supposed to, you know, all lives matter, black lives matter, all these movements. You know what, man? Let me tell you what, and two people have told me this. I think you're going to tell me this, too, because I know what type of man you are. Did you re-fall in love with Lisa over this period?
Yeah.
Have you re-fall in love with Lisa? Right now, two things happen. Either you fucking want to stab your wife and they're going to find her in the trunk. In about a month, there's going to be a bunch of wives missing. We don't know what happened. She went to Ralph. She never came back. Watch. Either you fell in love with your wife again, or you hate that person. You saw them for what they are. In my house, we re-fell in love with ourselves. Our family became stronger. And guess what happened this weekend, over the weekend? I got an email from Tammy Pascatelli. She goes, I hope you saw what happened over the weekend. The church family came out. This isn't an internet group. This is a state of mind. This is a family, and I appreciate
this. This is a church.
It's a beautiful thing to see.
It's a beautiful thing to see, and I owe you motherfuckers with all your heart, because you know I've had more women in that chair than most podcasters do. I put a ton of women in that fucking chair, and I give them a voice, and ask any of them if any time they had to do anything. And there's been some women that sit in that chair that have been pretty loose women. Ask them. Ask them if they fucking anything has happened here, whatever. So before once that dude got in trouble, that fucking, the guy who, the judge for choking the girl in college.
Yeah, Kavanaugh.
I knew that when Kavanaugh got called out by something he did 29 years ago.
Supreme Court guy,
okay.
I set the clock. I swear to my mother.
You've been saying it for years.
I set the clock. I go, when is this going to end? Because somebody's going to have to find one of these videos one day. The problem they have is that I don't give a fuck. They don't cancel me. I cancel them. I'm saying the truth about my life, whether you accept it or not. How come for years, Felipe, for years, I read little things. Joe Diaz is a liar. Joe Diaz is a liar. Those stories are full of shit. How come that story wasn't full of shit? They took that one to, you know?
Yeah.
And if I'm such a bad person, you worried about a girl that sucked my dick 22 years
ago? Or
how about the guy I put in the trunk of the car? You never said nothing about that. You never brought that up.
Or this time when they said it wasn't a lie, they didn't even know the year. Every time they say you're a liar, bro, that didn't happen in 1983. That didn't happen in 1979. Or how about this? When I was thinking about everything that was going down with you, and the only thing that I ever felt bad, it was when you had the show with Felicia Michaels and you stole that transgender person's wig.
Yeah.
And they're very expensive wigs.
Yes.
And you felt bad for it.
Yes.
Because later on, you got your ass kicked.
Dog, I felt terrible about that. You cannot be responsible. You are responsible for what you did when you're 18. I'm not going to hold you responsible. Unless you rape somebody and kill somebody.
Oh, again, fuck that, dude.
Again, you don't know what you're doing when you're 18. You saw a movie, whatever. I'm not going to send you money in prison because you're in your own fucking personal hell. But I'm talking about if you hit somebody in the head with a bottle when you're 18 and now we're 50, that person lived, you lived, everybody lived, you don't keep hitting people in the head with bottles, we're cool. In my book, we're cool. I've done things, I've done one thing, it didn't feel right, and I moved on. You know, I love women. I was raised to love women. I love women. Show all shapes, all sizes. Some I had fun with, some I didn't have fun with, but none of them ever could complain that it's something that they didn't want. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not a criminal. I'm not a sexual deviant. If you call me a criminal, that I am. If you call me out and say 30 years ago I robbed your purse, oh, fuck yeah. That probably happened. I probably did rob your purse at the supermarket because you turned your back. You went and asked for coke cuts and left your purse open like an asshole. I got to rob you and left the wallet sticking out. I got to rob you because you're a dumb fuck, you know. Do I regret it? Oh, with all my fucking heart. I was a stupid kid. That's what your 30s are for. So get it together. The fuck is wrong with these people, Felipe? What the fuck is wrong with these people? And in the world of Hollywood, if you really knew Hollywood and you really knew what type of people were out there and you really seen it, how many times have you seen a famous manager go up to the store? How many women are going to suck his dick?
They all run into him.
You can't believe it.
Guys, too. Remember when a hot agent walks into the room, even young male comedians start wearing skirts. They start walking up to him. How are you?
Right.
Can I get you a drink? Send him a drink.
The part that bothers me.
But I won't say that all women do that, though.
No, not everyone does it. But the part that bothers me is everyone pretends when they're getting angry about this stuff that they've lived a perfect life. Like I didn't say anything on Twitter. I try to, because when all this stuff happens, I'm like, it's gonna be over in a day or two. But it's like I learned from a kid, you don't throw stones in glass houses. Everyone has something.
Everybody has something
that. And you forget, you're very high and mighty to be like, oh, he's a terrible person. Like, really? Like, this is so long ago. You're saying that you can't. I would want to have the ability to explain myself or to be like, oh, I'm sorry that I did that. That was 10 years ago. Like, that was 20 years ago. We said it 10 years ago. I have a daughter now. I have all these women that I work with on a daily basis. Yeah, I wouldn't like myself that then either. But that's not who I am now. That's like watching a movie from 100 years ago. Be like, oh, it's very self righteous.
Ookie spooky. We took her to Texas. How come Ookie spooky will fucking live and die for me?
Yeah.
You know, I've had contact with all the Deborah Hubster's another fucking savage. I've had contact with all these women, and you fucking sit there and go, what the fuck? So for somebody to say that, you have to know the Comedy Store in 1997. You have to know comedy, and you have to know the inner workings. There's no child molestation in comedy. You know, I mean, let me tell you how bad society is. What makes you wake up on a Monday morning as a 20-year-old girl and go, today's the day I'm going to write that Chris D'Elia whatever sent me a picture or whatever. I don't know what the exact story is. This happened 4 years ago. Am I sticking up for D'Elia? Yes, and I am, and no, I am. If he's a pedophile, you know, whatever. But I know Chris D'Elia not to do this. He got a bunch of women. He dated a bunch of women. All those letters that came in aren't from 16-year-old. They're from jilted women. You know, every time he showed up at the store, he had two broads with him. I saw it. I saw them sit next to me in Mitzi's seat. They were all fucking overage women that were able and willing. You know what that means? They were able and willing. A couple years, weeks ago, Ray Don Chong came out and said she fucked Mick Jagger when she was 16. She wasn't mad about it. She said, I got what was coming to me. I wanted it. You know, half of those girls on that Sunset Strip, I've never been involved in a situation like that. I didn't like young girls when I was 18. When I was 18, I didn't like 18-year-olds. They talk too much. That's why when I was 19, I dated a 29-year-old for fucking 8 months in Colorado. Everybody else was dating young chicks.
For real,
I dated a 28-year-old that worked
when I was 16, the first girl I ever made out with, man, she was 23.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't like young girls.
She was a single mom, bro.
They talk too much. When you fucked them, they started crying.
Oh, the virgin.
You had to walk them home and rub their back.
I don't know what to do.
I don't want that shit. I don't need that in my life. I got to talk to them now all the time. Every time the period was late, I get a call fucking complaining. Fuck that. Older women, give me a woman that's been brokenhearted, that's been cheated on. She knows exactly where. Remember, ladies, when you're 21, when you're 18, you have this dream of this man you're going to meet. And then you go out there and you meet a bunch of fucking mutts. And by the time you're 28, you meet a guy that, you know what? You never thought you would marry. But after what you've been through, he's a nice enough guy. He's got a nice family and he's got a job and he's not going to beat you. He's going to be okay. The guy you dreamed about at 18 and the guy you marry at 28 are two different fucking guys. And it's going to be the guy that's closest to what your dad is. You're going to marry, without seeing it, you're going to see it years fucking later.
I know, man.
All young women marry their fucking dads.
Really?
People are like, especially me, like, I will watch movies and I will say, like, okay, that's the kind of chick I want, eh? Because that's the one you see in a movie, you know, that's the one that Tom Cruise took. Or you want the, if, I'm going to say for a girl, you know, you want a guy like Tom Cruise. You know, but every once in a while, man, you got to set up for a couple of Luis Guzmans, eh?
Yeah, from time to time.
You got to set up for a couple of Felipe Esparzas.
Yeah.
A couple of Butch Escobars.
How is
okay,
my man?
Okay, we'll go that far, right?
How is my man Butch?
You know, Butch is good, bro. Butch Escobar put out this awesome tweet, you know, this awesome Facebook post the first time of the pandemic, and he put himself up there, you know, where he stands in comedy. You know what this comedy role is going to lead to. Kind of what you and I were talking, man. If you were doing concerts before, it ain't going to happen.
It ain't going to happen.
So he's going to put that, you know, if you're doing it, if you're doing comedy clubs, headlining, you know, your rooms are going to be smaller. If you were doing one-nighters, what the fuck are you going to be doing? That's what he was. That was pretty much his post.
It's crazy.
It's crazy because if you were doing, like, corporate gigs, there's no more corporate gigs. Nobody's going to put all their corporate people together, everybody that works together in a factory for one comic.
I believe. Did you see what happened?
College gigs, either. After what's going on with all these comics, it's going to be hard to book another comic
Did
in your college.
Did you see what happened with the Philadelphia Phillies?
No.
They got beat by the Dodgers.
No. Did you see what happened in training camp?
Yeah.
What happened?
Six or seven.
In Orlando, right?
Wherever they're playing. No. Major League Baseball.
Yeah, spring training.
Spring training.
But that's not going to be good either.
Listen, Felipe, in my heart, I feel a couple things. I feel COVID is real. You know, I hope that it's watered down so guys my age don't get fucking murdered. I believe in wearing a mask. I believe in all that stuff. But I also believe in something. I believe that once you put eight people together, something different happens.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. I know four people were in a room and three of them got it in New York. Michael Yo, Jeffrey Goulian, and Lisa Lampanelli's ex-husband, Frankie Big Balls, whatever his name is. He's a great guy. I just forget his name right off the Peter Big Balls, whatever. So it's proven you could get in a room like us. That's why I don't want, that's why on your writer, you have to put down, I only want to deal with one person when you go to Houston and Dallas, okay? You want to deal with one person. The guy that picks you up at the airport, car's got to be sanitized. Buy a little Lysol can so you spray it in his fucking face so they get the hint. And no more five people knocking on your door. Hey, Felipe, good to have you here. Hi, Felipe. Oh, my God, we're so happy to have you here. How has it been? Yeah, well, me and Lisa. Hi, I'm your waitress. Here's your menu. If you need something, let me get it to you. Okay, so what were you saying?
Hi, I'm
a young comic. Can I do 5 minutes?
I'm Mike, the MC. I wanted to know how much time you were going to do up front.
I don't know, about 40, 45. Okay, thank you. So what were you saying, Felipe?
Hey, my name is Don. I want to know what music you wanted to come up to.
That's seven people you already had contact with. So I want to cut that out. They're going to have one COVID. These get you everything. You get the menu emailed to you. You call the improv and say, I want this before the second show, this. You know, I need for them. Right now, anybody knows that works in offices? We were talking about it the other day. Did we talk about it here the other night? If you work in an office, after a certain amount of floors, they treat it a certain way. So they're telling you to cover your computers and put your paperwork away. Because now, under guidelines, you have to spray offices with a certain chemical. And it's got to be clear for 20 minutes to kill all the air in. Comedy clubs got to do that in between shows. You can't have 275 people in there, put them out, and put a fresh 275 people in. Can't do it.
You got to want that seat.
They're not going to come to my shows. That's why I'm only going to do single shows at night. I'm starting out with single shows. I cannot fucking do double shows. Yeah, why? I'm an old man. I don't want to risk my audience. And why? So I'll just do Brea and Oxnard until we figure out what we're doing. And then when I come into a comic club, I'll tell them the same. For the first weekend, I just want to do the early show. I'm an old man. I don't want to be responsible for the second show. You want to put the second show in here? They have to do what planes are supposed to do. When you get off a plane, I don't care if the flight's delayed. I want a guy in there with a hazmat suit spraying everything down. It'll make me feel better. It'll make everybody feel better. I'm not saying I still can't get COVID because one of the guys I'm flying with can have COVID on the plane. So, but I want to lower my percentages. And this is all you're doing in this time period is lowering your percentages of getting it. Don't go to a supermarket at 3. 200 people already went in there. Go at 8 when it opens. You're the first one in there breathing. There's not even lines anymore at supermarkets. People are running out of money.
Yeah.
Supermarkets are empty. The days of lines are over with.
Food bank lines are getting full.
Food bank lines. Yeah, because there's no money.
A big line. Big lines.
So, we're going to have a hard time for a while. I don't mean to scare people, but that's why, you know, I understand what's going on out there. I understand the heartbeat of why somebody would look at a tape from 10 years ago and say, oh, I got to put this up today. I'm fighting for what are equal rights. I thought it was Black Lives Matter. We were still talking about Black Lives Matter last weekend. What happened? How did you switch flavors? So you went after DeLeon Monday, somebody else on Tuesday. Oh, Danny Masterson, which he deserved.
Yeah,
I would throw that fucking Scientologist. I told you the Scientologist.
From the 70s show, right?
That's why the Scientologists were quiet. Remember I said to you on this podcast 3 weeks ago?
That's right.
I said, everybody's raised their hand. Except the Scientologists.
Yeah.
They're not donating to Black Lives Matter. They're not doing nothing. That's why they were quiet, because they were ready for their fucking head Martian to get arrested. Danny fucking Martian head, whatever his fucking name is.
Danny Masterson.
And if you saw our boy, Chris D'Elia, my dog Chris D'Elia, he stays trending even after Danny Masterson. And Danny Masterson raped 3 women. Why? Scientologists took that shit down. They made the call. They paid the envelope.
Probably.
He got out in 30 minutes, Danny Masterson. They put up a his bail was $3.3 million. They put up $300,000. That's nothing to them. That's somebody's backyard. That's Travolta's backyard.
Wow.
Travolta's like, I don't want to put the money up. I've had 5 horrible movies out in a row. We'll tell them about the masseuse in Europe. I'll be glad to put my That's how Scientologists get you. But I knew the Scientologists have been too quiet for too long.
And where's ISIS?
ISIS, they're out of the game. They just fell apart. They're pimping. I just read an article about them. They're selling underage girls in Mexico and fucking Cuba or something like that. I swear to God, they're pimping.
ISIS?
Yeah, they're kidnapping women and selling them. Now is when you destroy America. I said this 4 weeks ago. If they would have showed up at that rally in Hollywood last week in front of Man's Chinese Theater, one guy on top of another guy's shoulders with bombs on them, and they both go, jihad!
With a big trench coat?
And they pull the fucking thing. Hold on one second. It's my man Nick DeTuro on the podcast live with Felipe Esparza and the Christ Killer.
What's up, fool?
What's up, dog? Nothing. They tried to take me down, but they couldn't. The church family fucking stood up and told them all to suck my dick. That's how we do it, dog. Saw a bunch of people, some communists. Let me call you when I get out of here. I love you. I'm good. I'm good. They could all suck my dick and call me shorty. Stay black. What do you want to do? You want me to roll over? I can't roll over. You know, people got mad at me for fucking putting Ari on. 22 years. You're my brother. You're my brother. It's too late. It's too late. If you go down, I go down with you. And if I go down, I don't know what you want to do. I'm happy you came on the podcast today because that proves to people how we stand together. We ain't fucking around here.
Nah.
I ain't no comic from Saturday Night Live that said something wrong on a podcast 4 years ago. You're not going to bully me, dog. Not now. You're not going to bully me. You could have bullied me 15 years ago, but now you're in no danger. We got what's called freedom. I'm at a point in my life where there's nothing to cancel. What are you going to cancel? My phone bill. What are you going to cancel? Sprint? I've been with them for 16 years. They'll even tell you to go fuck themselves. I'm loyal. 16 years I've been with Sprint. 2004. I got the phone service before a Dodger game with my check from Spider-Man 2. When I got my check from Spider-Man 2, I got a phone. I went to the fucking place where they give you prime rib in Hollywood that's well known. Musso and Frank's.
Musso and Frank's.
I took my wife. I took two friends. We ate the pot roast, the thing, with the check. That was the biggest check I ever saw in my life for Spider-Man 2 when I did it. It was 14 days. I dipped a ton of fucking prime rib in the horseradish. And then from there, we went up to Dodger Stadium. And I sat there minding my own business. And there was a father and a son in front of me. You know how the seats are staggered, so you don't sit behind somebody. You're staggered. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sitting like this with my legs open, and I feel a little rumbling in my stomach.
Oh, no.
And I feel that horseradish and that fucking horse meat they sell you at Musso and Frank's getting all put together. And all of a sudden, Philippe, I started farting, but they were perfect. They were ricocheting off the chair, and they were going in between the father and son team, right? And then it would spread like the coronavirus. Like a fog, and it would surround their heads. The people I was sitting with couldn't take it. They were covering their faces. This father and son team would just sit there, and after about 3 minutes of just inhaling this fart, the father and son team would just look at each other, and then they would look back at the kid. Now, by the looks of everything, the kid had a glove. He was one of those idiot kids that thought he was going to catch a ball. But too bad we're sitting up with the Puerto Ricans. Fucking Sammy Sosa couldn't hit a ball up there. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're up there where the fucking buses don't run. We went to a Dodger game with somebody good. And those were the only tickets they had, Felipe, up in the top.
So you're in a top deck. You don't catch nothing up there but a cone.
Yeah. All you're gonna catch is fucking Coleman's cousin.
It's full of
vivid.
The top. You know, I don't know if you've been to the top of the top deck of Dodger Stadium when there's a lot of people and it's hot.
Oh.
And it's right by 8 o'clock. Just a shit little mosquitoes,
bro. And you gotta take the elevator up with 20 people that got COVID. That third floor, never again. So
what about the fucking all you can eat section?
I don't know nothing about that. I don't sit in that section. So
I know people take backpacks. They take hot dogs home.
I'm sitting there and I'm blowing every 20. I'm blowing one of these fucking horrible horse rats.
Are you trying to get rid of them, or are you just having fun?
No, I'm just having fun at this point. And the people I'm with, the people behind them, the people I'm with, the three, I was with my wife and two friends, and they're like, Jesus Christ, Joey. But the two people in front of me, the father and son team, Felipe, every time they fought it, they would tighten up. I wouldn't even make, they were silent. They weren't making noises. They just stunk horribly. And the wind was blowing mildly, so they just surround you. You've even been smoking weed outside, and the smoke goes around you. The fart was going around them, and they couldn't take it no more. And every time they kept looking at each other, finally the kid's glove went down, and about the sixth inning, I started blasting them to an inning. And finally the father and son looked at each other, and they just got up and walked away, bro. They left the game. They couldn't take the fart.
You shouldn't get canceled for your farts. Your farts are pretty terrible.
Oh, my God.
Rodrigo Torres, man, he farted in New York City. Right after a show, they went to this club with Luis Guzman and Toby Hicks. And they were just at this nightclub. And it was a tight little club. And it was hot. And Rodrigo farted loud, but nobody heard it because of brah, 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 brah. Right? Dude, it smelled so bad, it cleared out the whole club. You can hear Puerto Rican going, coño.
The fucking
garbage. Que olor es el coño.
Bro, the fucking.
Puro puerco.
The garlic pills I take will put you on a different planet. Listen to me. I had an N95 mask on at the park in the beginning of this with my daughter. And one day I fought it when I was sitting there and I smelt it through the mask. I didn't know if the mask was cheap. Or if my asshole was that good. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're sitting there going, I don't know what's what. I don't know if the mask is a Fugazi or my fucking asshole is that much stronger. I don't even know what we talked about on this podcast. But man, I have no idea. We have.
But I've been like, the worst farts are the one where you're like, been partying for 3 nights straight. You've been wearing the same fucking socks. And I remember coming home, and it was one of those nights that you were just calling me constantly, and you knew I was fucked up, and I was not returning your call. And then you would leave angry messages, encouraging messages, you fucking cocksucker, you're better than this. You know, you're going to be smarter than the white guys. You're going to be funnier than the black guys. You got to stay focused. Everybody wants to see you go down. So, man, I remember, man, my stomach was hurting real bad because I had ate a fucking burrito at Siete Mares. It was like a fucking al pastor burrito with a lot of salsa. And I went to sleep. I drank two horchatas. I had nothing in my body but that food. I turned on the fan real loud. Well, real loud, real high. And I fell asleep. And, man, I was farting in my sleep, but the fan was throwing everything in my face.
Oh.
So I was dreaming, bro, that someone threw me in a septic tank.
Well, I love that. Like, the stinkier my fart is, I love it. But whenever Joey farts, I have to puke.
His beef is strong.
I don't fuck around.
He should be canceled for that fart, the one he just said, man, for Dodger Stadium.
Oh, my God, that was
horrible. He should have canceled you from being in left field pavilion.
He's gotten better at it, too. Now he angles it. Every time,
I've always been very good. Since high school, I know how to bank shot a fart.
But I can tell now. Every time he turns his chair, like, 90 degrees, I had a fart on me.
But I've also bent over. I've done the Chinese fart in front of you, where I bend over, I do stretches.
I've been fucked up.
Kidney stretch. I do a kidney stretch fart on you.
How do you stretch your kidney?
Because I learned it from the Chinese.
Did you say one time you fucked everybody up at the YMCA when you were doing Pilates?
I fucked people up at the YMCA one time. I fucked people up. The biggest fuck up I ever had was on a bus in high school on the way back from a basketball game. I blew three farts. That were the worst things you ever smelt in your life. And when I saw the cheerleaders crying was when I knew I had achieved success. When the cheerleaders were crying, they're like, please, whoever's doing this, stop. This is terrible. When I saw those girls crying, and I still remember the girl that was crying at my farts. Her name was Lori Rosa. I think that's her name. She had like a Butch Patrick hairdo. I still remember her and another bunch of
Butch Patrick
little
hairdo.
White girls crying.
The proudest thing. I've never seen you so proud. Like, I made cheerleaders cry.
Fuck them.
I was having sex, you know, when I was wired out. And Oh, you know, you get real nasty, bro. It's dark, and you're doing bad stuff. And this girl farted in my face when I was down there. But you know, man, you could either ignore it or keep going, bro. So I ignored it.
Well, if you
it would have went my mouth, bro, like my mouth was a bong, bro. And then later on, she looks at me all pissed off. She goes, no, why are you mad? And I made a joke about it. I said, because you ate my cheesecake. He goes, how do you know, bitch? You know, you farted cheesecake in my mouth.
when you're having sex and whatever, I know when I was young, I used to date a girl early on. And she would have pussy fart when she orgasmed, as whatever they call it. She would fart a little bit.
She'd
and
queak,
then she'd look embarrassed. We only messed around.
She was a queefer like Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah.
She did it on stage, bro.
But queef from your... Women queef from their pussy, don't they?
Right, yeah.
No, this girl farted a little bit because she got overexcited. And she would tell you, I'm sorry. And you would feel bad. Like you
were like, loud or a little cute one. Like,
little cute ones. Oh, that's cute. The first girl I think. That's like the second or third girl they ever messed around with. Like I ever really messed around with.
She got
like,
overexcited and farted.
I was probably 18, 19. Maybe. So, yeah, it hasn't fucking... The hits don't stop. You know what I'm saying? What are you going to fucking do? What do you think about touring, Felipe? You think you... What do you want to do? What if they cancel these two Houston tours? Are you prepared? I mean...
If they cancel these two shows, I'm good with that, man. We'll see. But all my shows right now are being pushed to 2021. And I don't have a tour set up or nothing. I do have a special that's going to come out. I lucked out. I was telling Lee before you got here that I got to shoot my special the day after Kobe Bryant died. Because he died on Sunday, and we shot my special on Monday and
Tuesday. The 26th.
Yeah.
The 26th and 27th.
And it was, man, people were still sad at my show that day. We don't have rights for memorabilia. So we had to tell some people at the door, you can't wear the Laker jersey. Because it can't be on screen. I know he died. And then he would have to go to his car and put on another shirt. We shot two special. The first one was in English and the second one was in Spanish.
You were the first comedian on Netflix to shoot a Spanish special. Congratulations, brother.
Yeah, man.
And where was this at?
We shot it at the... I don't know, the old Galaxy Theater.
Okay.
I think it's called something else right now. It's called the Science Center.
No, where's this called?
The Observatory? I don't know.
In Orange, right?
Yeah.
And that was the old Galaxy that we used to do comedy at.
Clyde.
Was this the place where they used to serve food?
Yeah.
Like it was a dinner theater?
It was the same guy named Clyde. He would book the Galaxy Theater and he would book the Coach House in San Juan Capistrano,
yes,
and Santa Barbara.
The Galaxy was by the Irvine Improv.
Yeah.
Around that neighborhood.
Santa Ana.
And it was...
It's called the Observatory now.
And it used to be like... This is 97.
Yeah, man.
This is 97, 98 we're talking about.
$100.
$100 Thursday night. There was like a piano guy. There was like a comedian.
The
like
green room
player. And I remember that I did comedy with a guy that... was one of the most interesting comics I ever seen. Somebody told me that before I went down there, somebody called me and they said, the guy you're working with tonight was going to be a star, but the angles didn't adjust right, and he never became a star. There wasn't as many options as there are today. And when I worked with this guy, I forget what his name is, I forget whatever happened to him, he blew me away. Like, that was the first guy, like, I was already in L.A., I was already watching Wendy Liebman.
And this is in Irvine?
Yeah, at that.
You talking about Jeff Jenna?
No.
Oh.
This was at that particular
era.
The Galaxy.
Yeah.
And the first time I ever played the Galaxy, I worked with a comic that had been a legend. He just didn't do TV. He didn't break through. No drug habit. No nothing. He was like a family guy. And at the end, he played the guitar, and he got a standing ovation. And I opened for him. And I remember... somebody called me and said, you're opening up for such and such tonight. He's an old timer. He's been around a long time with Kennison and those guys. but he always kept it low key. His wife was something big, so he didn't want to travel. But wait till you see him. He's one of those type of killers. So I remember I was driving to St. Anna, and it's the 405.
22.
Right. So it's the 405 South.
Yeah, 405 South.
Okay. I was not good friends with him yet. Me and him had exchanged hellos for about 6 months. Okay. And he had, you know, he had acknowledged me a few times or whatever. And one night, you have to go to 101 North to the 405 South, right? And I got on the 101 North. I was living in Hollywood. And I'm on the car. I'm on the 101 North. And I pull it, bumper to bumper. And who do I pull up next to? We were not good friends at this time at all. And I just happened to look to my left. And it was Joe Rogan in his Supra.
Oh, damn.
And he was coming from taping news radio, rehearsing for news radio on a Thursday night. And I'll never forget that I pulled up and I looked and it was Joe and I beeped the horn. I thought he was going to ignore me. And he lowered his window and he goes, "What's up, bro? Where you headed?" And I go, "The Galaxy. Theater to do comedy." He goes, "Where's that?" And I go, "I don't know. That's when you had the book."
Yeah, the Thomas Guide. The
Thomas Guide. I go, "I don't know. I'm going to this gig." He had the Supra with the red rims. He was already fucking killing it. Young, tons of hair. And he goes, "Will you be at the store tonight?" And I go, "Yeah, I'm going to go down there and then come back and go to the store." And he goes, "Wow, you're going to do two spots tonight? You're driving an hour each way?" And I go, "Yeah, it ain't shit." We were just talking bumper to bumper. And when I raised my window, that's the first time I think he realized that I was serious about what I was doing. And after that, we became friendly. That was the first real... We were friends from the store. Like, "Hey, how you doing? Good to see you." I didn't know what news radio was, and I was too scared to ask anybody because I thought they'd think I was a retard. When I met Joe, I thought Joe worked on a show that did the news on the radio. Please don't ever repeat that to nobody. I thought Joe Rogan was like, "Joe, what do you have to say?" "Well, it's going to be sunny out there today with a touch of haze." And that's what I thought Joe did. So I didn't really know. And then maybe 2 weeks after that, I go, "Hey, bro, do you mind if I come to a taping of one of your shows?" And he's like, "Yeah, call this number." And I call that number and left a message, and he called me right back. And he goes, "I left you a ticket to go see me." And I went down there, and I sat in the audience like everybody else, and I watched, and I was blown away.
It's always cool, man, when you meet a cool dude. You know, a cool comic, like that meeting with Joe Rogan, and he didn't know him that well, and then he just saw Joey's drive. I remember, man, when I was at the Laugh Factory, I had just got off the stage, and Sean Wayans, one of the Wayans brothers, he just tapped me. Real nice. The whole family is beautiful, bro. Every time the Wayans see each other, they always give each other a hug and a kiss, like real brothers. You don't see that too much, you know? So I said, he said, "You're funny. What's your name?" I said, "Felipe." And I said, "What else you do?" "I just do this. I'm trying to get like writing jobs." I lied, dog. "I'm trying to get writing jobs." And then he goes, "All right. My brother has a show on at night, the Keenan Ivory Wayne show. You want to write?" And he goes, "I'll hook you up." And I said, "Sure." So here's my number. I give him my number on Monday morning. Somebody told me, somebody called me up. "Hey, Felipe Esparza, you're going to be writing jokes. I want you to submit at least 25 jokes and fax them to me. You have a fax machine?" And I lied again. I said, "Yeah." Bro, I went to go look for a fax machine with Joey Medina at Sears, bro. An old one. And I found it. And I got a word processor, a cheap one too. And they would call me every day, and I would write jokes every day, 25, and fax them. And I thought that the coolest thing. I only sold one. I never got paid, though. But that was cool, man. I mean, that meeting right there was Joe. He hooked you up like that. And then I'll never forget that. Sean, he just hooked it up like
that. The Wayans have always
been good. They're the best people around.
Let me get some straight here. I don't know their names.
Marlon, Sean, Keenan, And the younger ones.
I know the one from that did the movie with Bruce Willis.
Damon Wayans.
Damon Wayans.
A nice guy.
Damon Wayans is, you know, I'm going to reach out to him. You know who I reached out to? Guys, Pete Rose.
No way.
Yeah. He lives in Studio City.
Pete Rose on a
Yeah. I want to get Reds? Him on the podcast. Yeah. That's my man. It's time for him to go into the Hall of Fame.
He broke the record of home hits, 492 from Ty Cobb.
No, but people just don't get it no more. We talked about it, and the next day it was trending because they're talking about how they, the Houston people, the people from the Yankees and Boston, whatever, Cora, I don't know. And I was like, I was just talking about this with Lee. So I went to Pete Rose's page, and it's like for information on how to contact Pete. So I sent an email. Let's see what happens. I'll send another one next week. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
The Wayans.
First time was about the Wayans. The Wayans cool
brothers. You know, the two oldest ones, the one who had a living color, gave me some tips one night. They were very encouraging to me at the Comedy Store when it was a dark place and I was in a bad time. They were the ones that were like, bro, that joke is fucking solid. Dog, the way you went up there dancing, you had me cracking. You know,
that was Damon, right?
Damon, Keenan. Those are the ones that were really, they would go up there to hang out with Paul.
Yeah.
They would go up there to be with Paul Mooney at night. So we had that. And Keenan kept coming. Keenan wasn't, listen, bro. All right, guys, when you get into comedy, the good thing about comedy is you're always going to end up somewhere. You might not end up a comic because you, like right now, I'm trying to write a book, but I've had a hard time putting my thoughts onto that paper. And that's okay. You can't be good at everything. I don't know how to change oil in a car either, okay? But from comedy, you're going to learn where you want to go. Phil Jackson was not the best basketball player of all time.
Nope.
But he learned how to be a good coach. So Keenan would struggle on stage. You know, he would just go up there. You know, he's a funny mind. It's like if David Chase went on stage. He can't fucking do what he does on The Sopranos and transfer it to stand-up. He knows how to transfer it to a scene. He sees the big picture. Some people see the big picture. With Keenan, you could tell he saw the big picture. He didn't see jokey poos weren't his forte. He would usually come down with Damon.
And Robert Townsend, I think, too.
And Robert, they would meet down there.
Friends.
This is 97, 98.
When Townsend had that big trench coat with a hat.
And then,
there he goes, pavilion.
There you go. You want to talk about farts? I'll give you farts, cocksucker. So, a little backup. There's always a tremor.
One day you're going to fall out of your chair while you
there's always a tremor.
You know, Joe Diaz farts, like when you tell a dog to shut up, and then he does the last word. Arr.
So, it's funny that Damon would go up, Keenan would go up, and then Damon. And what happened was, Keenan went up one night at the store. This is when we used to get 18 people. So you had to have four people to have a show. If you went up there and bombed at 10:30, people are going to walk. We're going to lose people. So yeah, the guys that would go up at 12 would be in the back cheering for you. Don't bomb because...
Bro, it was like
if you fucking walk them, we're going to fucking leave. That's how bad it was.
It's like passing a baton, bro.
We needed that $15 fucking dollars. Please don't walk people. So we would go up there and watch you and bulldog you. If you went up there and said a bad joke, we would fucking, like, what the fuck, bitch? You're going to walk these people. So what happened was this kept happening. People were going up there and bombing, and me and a handful of other guys couldn't go up on a Wednesday night because you went up there with your stupid fucking magician jokes, and everybody fucking walked. So one night, Keenan went up there, and he wasn't having a good night. There's eight people. And Keenan goes up, and he's not having the best night of his life. Damon was on after him, okay? And we were back there cheering for Keenan, and he's not going in the direction we want him to. And all of a sudden, you see two people order a tab. They go, tab, please. And I'm, like, losing my mind. And I would never disrespect. Never would I disrespect another comic on stage. One of my friends, Thomas Ward... Remember Thomas Ward? My brother from Detroit. Right? Him, the other brother, they're all killers from Detroit. Thomas Ward got up and yelled, yo, you ain't funny.
fuck.
Get off the fucking stage so us other young brothers could get stage time. And he meant it like, come on, man. You bump us, and then you're not funny.
Thomas Ward.
Thomas fucking Ward took it seriously. Like, I remember calling Thomas next thing, going, what happened to you last night? He's like, man, how's a brother going to take stage time from a fucking brother? You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to make my little 15 motherfucking dollars, and they got to come in there. If it ain't him, it's Eddie fucking Griffin. We had it by that time because the late crew was getting tortured.
Right.
You already knew if you were going up at midnight that Paul Mooney was coming.
Bro, you will see a night where Paul Mooney did 2 hours, Eddie Griffin did 3, and then the Dice Man closed it out with 2.5.
Oh, my God. Bro, Eddie Griffin would go up at 9:15 and get off at 11:30. When they'd give him the light and tell him Paul was there, they'd send him a note. And then Paul would go up there and do 1.5 hours, and Andrew would come in with his cousin, and we'd just sit there all night. We had a spot.
Jesus.
But see... What I tell people when this happened, don't worry about unemployment. Go get your cash at a supermarket. Go stock shelves. Me and Felipe never had that problem because Felipe turned me on to all his buddies' rooms.
That paid 50 bucks.
That paid 50 bucks. 50 bucks, 50 bucks, 50 bucks, 50 bucks. That shit adds up, bitch.
Yeah.
Cream burritos.
Fuck. And on the way
home. Yeah, Ralphie going over there, too.
Ralphie, too. And on the way home, King Taco. That's what you guys didn't know, that you fed me, but on the way home, I made a stop at King Taco and took something home for after the Coke wore off. You know what I'm saying? You know when the Coke is going down, you just got to stuff your face, even though you don't like it. At the end of your Coke high, Lee, to really kill your Coke high, you got to eat something. But Lee, you don't want to eat nothing. I mean, they could bring you the best steak from the world, and you're like, I don't want to eat it. You got to force yourself to eat it so you can fall asleep.
Oh, God.
So I would take home that food from Taco
King Taco.
Taco, which Mexicans would tell me don't go there. But to me, they made a chorizo papa burrito. It's potato and chorizo,
nice.
Smothered in green sauce, with cheese. I would take that motherfucker home. I remember putting the brakes on the car. You ever see your burrito fly off? I held on to that burrito like a 3-year-old child, dog.
I've eaten it off the floor before.
My arm was on the fucking, like that thing, like a fucking.
Did you ever get that little champorado thing they sell right there, like a little hot drink?
They got something Atole. Over there, bro.
Yeah.
They got good shit over in King Taco.
That salsa legendary.
They got a security guard there and shit.
Oh, shit. That motherfucker look like a fucking sicario, bro.
Bro,
he has pistols, machetes,
dog,
mace.
He's got everything. Mace, handcuffs, a riot helmet. He knows what type of clientele shows up there.
He's an expert at rally from Tijuana.
Yeah, no. Tremendous. Tremendous. I love that.
He's 70 years old. He falls, we all die.
You know what, man? I hope that since a lot of people can't travel or don't want to travel, I hope that that Mexican scene comes back. I hope that the young Spanish dudes start putting those rooms together. I miss them. I'm not going to lie to you. But I also don't want to go get ripped off either. I know that they'll advertise Joey Diaz, charge $20, and then try to give me $50.
And you get there.
And you get pissed off.
You get to the Acapulco restaurant in Downey, and Joe Diaz ain't there.
Yeah, but now I got to show up. Remember in those days, I didn't know if I was going to show up. If somebody paid me $80 before, and you had a $50 set of 10, and I didn't have a set at the store, I already had $80. You know what I'm saying? That's a good number. 80, that's 60 for a gram, $10 for 2 packs of cigarettes, and the other 10 for breakfast. You know what I'm saying? 80 was the magic number. So if I already had 80
or if it once in a while, I'd be too crazy and shit. Joey, here's $200. Keep it, or else I'm going to use it on drugs.
I remember one
night. I had no choice, dude. That's the only way I could stop.
One of the night, Felipe, you have Birkenstocks on. I'm going to make believe I didn't see those.
I have a plantar fasciitis.
Mexicans don't wear, or you have
plantar fasciitis.
What's that?
That the heel of my foot.
Okay, you have bursitis in there.
Something like that, yeah. And then my heel was hurting. Like I have nails when I got off to bed.
Oh, my God. When you go pee in the morning?
Yeah.
In the morning?
So.
You got to stay on your feet when you have that shit. Because as
get
soon
a golf
as you
ball.
Sit down, as soon as you sit down. And you get up, you want to shoot yourself at 3 a.m. I got that from wearing fucking merengue shoes. When you wear fucking Spanish shoes, when you were a Spanish kid, those fucking little fag shoes your mom makes you wear. From I had those little fag shoes. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Why did you? When are you wearing those shoes?
Because they have no support.
Yeah. So you're flat foot.
No, I'm like half a flat foot. Pate plancha.
Yeah.
I'm like half a flat foot. But I had that from when I went to prison. I used to run.
Yeah, flat ass shoes.
And it was dirt, and it was fine. But once I got to Boulder, I ran the trail, the river trail, and that's concrete. And I developed that thing. And then I was a car salesman. So I would wear those Italian shoes. Those Italian shoes are great. You can't be on them on your feet all day.
They ain't jelly.
They're good for a fucking first communion.
Right.
You know, and to dinner. They ain't good to be on your feet for 10 hours. So I got that Plancy.
Fall with a fucking pain.
Did you get
man.
The? Did you get the? Did you get the inserts?
I got the inserts. We're all
did they
the
shoot best. You? Did they shoot you?
I went to Rite Aid, and there's a foot machine right there, like an electric one where that measures you. So I got it. I didn't give a fuck, but I got on that shit barefoot, and it measured my foot and my sole, and then right away it told me what kind of sole to get, and I got it. And I've been putting that in my shoe. Let me tell you, man, immediately it started going away.
Immediately. Nice. It's completely different.
Because I was just, man, let me tell you, I was standing on top of a golf ball for a while before that pain could go away. And it was, man, it's going away, man.
Did you get the needle?
Hell no.
Okay. They give you a needle.
My brother-in-law.
They do two options.
My brother-in-law, like Lisa's brother, he got two, they're called, cortisone shot. He got two cortisone shots.
That's
one in his foot.
That's not good for your foot. That's not good for you. That's like a band-aid.
Is that what you get?
I got one in the left foot, and then I stopped with the cortisone shots. I figured out that
it's funny, man. When I finally found out what I really had, plantar fasciitis, and you talk about it. I was talking about my podcast, and right away a lot of my listeners said I have it too, and they hooked me up with a bunch of different places, a couple of YouTube pages for stretches.
The foot store.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. You know, your feet hurt. Let me tell you something.
Those shoes you wear, New Balances,
yeah.
The white ones are perfect, bro.
These Adidas I wear,
yeah.
They'll kill my feet. I love them. They're for stage. They're for the stage. They're not to walk around. I'm 57. They're not to walk around. If I wear them a lot, I'm done. I got to wear the New Balance. That's an old man sneaker. The New Balance with the extra support. When I went to Columbus, the Columbus Funny Bone, they have a New Balance store right across the street from the hotel. Right on that strip. It's New Balance's first. Then it's a California, what is it? The
Pizza Kitchen?
Cheesecake Factory.
Mm.
It's on the same strip. And one day I walked into that New Balance, and that dude, he banged me out for $350. But the shit he gave me for my feet, they never hurt again. So when I fly, I wear the New Balances with sweatpants. It's got the inserts already in them. I could walk 20 miles like Jesus. Nothing. You know what I'm saying? You know. But now my knees hurt a little bit. It's not the same. Now I'm a little older. You know, now I don't know what the fuck's going to happen, so I don't really want to push it with the walking. Sometimes I walk, the next day my heel feels good. Sometimes I walk a lot and my heel doesn't feel good. So fuck it. I just left it alone. I'd rather ride my bike anyway, so.
Man, I was dragging my. I didn't know what was going on. I would get up to go pee on the road, and I'm and I didn't know Lee right. And I'm walking, hitting the hard floor in the bathroom, and
I
feel like I'm walking on top of golf balls.
Yeah, you have no idea. You have no idea.
No, actually, no marbles.
The first time I went, the doctor he shot me in the foot, and I sat there for like 6 hours until my color came back. The pain of that needle because it goes into the ball. They have to shrink that ball. So it's a little ball. It's called the bursar. It's a little ball.
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Full of calcium, right?
Full of calcium.
Yeah, that build up.
It's a fucking. Well, I don't know what it's filled with. It'll be filled with shit that I don't fucking know. I just know it hurts the fuck out of your feet, man. What would you do to adjust? You know, anything? Are you happy? Are you okay with this?
With my plantar or with the pandemic?
No, I'm talking about. Just what's going on with life right now.
Oh, what I've been doing to adjust, man.
Have you accepted it that there might not be a road till 2020?
Oh, I accept it, man. They're going to be nothing. I know that I'm not going to be touring 300-seaters anymore this year or more than that for a while. I don't think, I don't know, man. like at first I joked around about it, you know, like I'm not gonna go out on the road till I start seeing more white shit opening up, like, you know, like crochet class, you know, or MegaCon or Comic Con conventions. Like are we gonna have another Comic Con? I don't think conventions are done.
They're done. Cons are done. Remember,
they're canceled for this year.
Or I think about the Ontario Improv. You know, whenever you will sell out a show, that how hot that hallway is, where people are waiting for the next show to come in.
That's what I'm saying.
You got to figure those things out. There's no ventilation there.
There's no ventilation there. They have to really. I don't want to go to a show and have somebody hit me up and say they caught COVID. I wouldn't. Listen, all the bad things I've done, that I would feel bad about. That I would feel bad about. That somebody came to a show that listens to the podcast, that knows we take this shit responsibly. If you don't feel good, stay home. I'd rather you stay home and tell me you have COVID. I'll fucking send you a video.
That's funny you say that because,
you know, I'll fucking make you a video. I'll fucking, of me whacking off or hitting my drums, my balls with a hammer. I'll do anything for you. But I'd rather do that than you come in and infest 100 people at a show that I'm throwing, man.
How many sick people have you seen at your show before, though? I've seen a lot of sick people at my show. I've seen people in wheelchairs. I've seen
tons of people coughing. Wheelchairs don't bother me. I mean, that's just, I love all those. I have nothing against that. It's the people who come in and they're sick. You know, we talk about the flu. The flu is a thing that could be cured. But here's the problem with the flu. It doesn't really affect all of us the same way COVID does. The flu hits you for 1 or 2 days, and guess what, Lee? I'm sorry to tell you, you got bills to pay. You're an American. You got bills to pay. So you want me to stay home all week because I have the flu. For an American, if we could walk around and talk on the phone, we're good enough to go to work. So we go to work. We still have the germs in us, and the whole office gets sick. We're doing the right thing as Americans and stuff like that. But as humans, we're getting other people sick, whether it's the flu or whatever the fuck it is. So that's the problem you have. I don't really, really, from what I'm seeing, it doesn't take a genius. I hope nobody's feelings get hurt. But I'm not seeing people being careful. I'm not seeing it. You cannot be in a bar and social distance, Felipe. Me and you could start here. Hey, how you doing, Felipe? Good. Fuck, unemployment hasn't come this week. Really? But after we have 3 drinks, we're going to get closer and closer and closer.
Start hugging people again.
I miss hugs.
Hugging people again and the music. So this is what doesn't sit well with me. I don't ever want somebody to come to an improv show or any other club, whether it's Zany's in Nashville, whether it's the Stress Factory in New Jersey, and for them to say, bro, you know, but then this is what people don't understand. Right now, there's 2 words that people don't want to get through their head, and it's pay cut. Pay cut. Pay cut. Give me the option. I know your room. I'm not going to mention the name of a club. I know your room, Felipe. I know how it sits. We're not putting no 300 people in there for my week. Yeah, Joey, but I need to pay bills. It's 200. Why? Because I don't care about the fucking extra 100 money. I don't want nobody to get sick. I know your room. You put people on top of people in your fucking room.
You bring extra chairs behind my back.
How many clubs have you gone to? They put people on top of people.
A lot.
A lot. And they don't give a fuck about them people. I went to a certain club. I'm not going to say the name. He had people standing up. Did I get mad at them? Yeah, because I'm not getting paid on those tickets. He's selling those against my fucking will. But if people are going to be that stupid to stand, then you know. So this is the things I'm avoiding. I don't want somebody to get sick of my show. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to go see nobody until we know what's going on here. You know, we got to build our immune systems, Felipe. If not, we're going to die. So this is something that you do little by little. How the fuck are you going to be around me, Lee? How the fuck are you going to be around Lisa, Silent Bob, Rizzo and Rocky and Wolfie for 6 months, and all of a sudden I'll put you out amongst 275, 550 people a night with different immune systems. That might get you sick right there because we haven't been around big crowds. We're comedians. I know for a fact a lot of comedians didn't get COVID. You know why? Because we, if you travel a lot, you have a tremendous
immune system.
Immune system. If you're on a plane 3/4 of the year, your immune system's already up. I know people who fly one time a year and they get sick. So that tells me my immune system is up there already. But we got to rebuild it now. Yeah, we've been keeping it alive. We exercise. We take vitamin D. We do all that shit. But have you really built up your immune system? That's why we have to start from scratch. I can't be in an office with 50 people. Somebody's going to get COVID. That's what happened with baseball. That's what happened with the Philadelphia Phillies this week. You put 22 people together. 8 people are going to get it. We're not even ready. That's why it's got to be in small amounts. Small amounts. Sure, the hospitals are full. They got herd immunity last week or whatever the fuck they got and all those protests. Oh, who gives a fuck? I'm here for my brother Felipe. I'm here for my brother Felipe. I can't call it no more.
I don't know, man.
They tried to cancel.
They should cancel COVID.
I agree.
Well, they should cancel everything.
I know, man. My last show I did, though, I was in Washington. My last show was in Yakima. And, you know, they had the biggest
outbreak.
The biggest outbreak was in Kirkland.
Kirkland.
Which is from the Tri-City. And some people actually drove from Kirkland to my show. From Richland, all that area.
Yakima is the Palm Springs of Washington. That's what they call it.
Yakima, Washington, shout out, is where LA Cholos go to retire. And man, it was a great show. It was like 1,200 people, but that was my last show. And I tell Rodrigo, we didn't catch it then. We're good, bro. We were in Washington, and we flew back in a little tiny plane. But I haven't flown since. And I'm going to lie, the first couple of 3 days, I was scared. I had to cancel my Post Malone show with Lisa. I was going to take her to see Post Malone for her birthday, and we canceled that. We didn't go to Vegas. And I've still been taking my acting class on Zoom, so that I'm still good, dog.
So you've been taking care of you. The fucking important shit.
Yeah, man. Working out, drinking water. Just trying to be like Lee.
Oh, Jesus Christ. This was a good time to reflect, you know.
But you know, one thing I've noticed about everybody, I don't know how they're most of America, but I'm just going to talk about my neighborhood. I walk my dog every day at 7 in the morning. I walk him every day at 6 p.m. My neighborhood is a ghost town, bro. There's no one ever outside. I mean, it's a fucking ghost town. When we walk alone, I never see anybody. I never see no one. But there's houses all around me. Since the pandemic, I've seen fathers and daughters riding bikes together. I've seen moms walking with their dog and their son. I've seen more family time together. I think when these kids later on think about it, what they're going to miss most about this time is all that closeness you have with your family. Because I'm pretty sure there's a lot of domestic violence too, but a lot of people, like, you got to know your father for the first time. You got to see your father at home, you know. My father was always at work. I never got to see my dad. I mean, I'm pretty sure, like, a lot of people are getting to know their father. I'm pretty sure it's tough on a lot of dads out there. They got to raise their kids finally.
Yes. A lot of parents had to raise their kids because the nannies wouldn't come in. Listen, for me, like I've repeated this, I can't say it enough. We've gotten tighter over there. We celebrate our 20th year anniversary July 1st. And we can't wait. We can't fucking believe it that we've been together for 20 years. So we've been getting tighter over there. It's a different type of tight. It's when you have a cat. The first 3 years, you're like, fuck, this cat has been great. This cat's a lot of fun. But once you have a cat 7, 8 years, it becomes something else. He knows when you're having a bad day. He knows when you need him. I had a cat that knew when I was going to pass out, and he'd jump on me and claw me so I would focus on the claws and I wouldn't pass out. You know, it's the same thing with women. You know, it's the same thing with friends. We've been around each other now. You know, I've been sitting here with you for an hour, and I've had, you know, 5 people have called, from Maj Gibrani to, you know, just checking up on me, you know. We have friends. We have family. So it makes this a lot easier. I've tried to be Lee's family during this, you know.
Steve Simone, I look after all the single guys. You know, you have to call the single guys, you know, and check up on them.
Yeah, I check up on this old comic that I work with up north. He lives by himself. He's been doing stand-up since 1970-something. Very funny guy. Larry Bubbles Brown.
Okay.
Marr.
Yeah.
Marr. That dude is fucking hilarious, bro.
76.
And then there's another older guy named... I know a lot of older comics. I check up on them, you know.
When is your special coming out?
I think it's going to probably come out in the fall.
Okay.
We don't know. We don't have a date.
Are both of them coming out together?
Yes, like, together.
So it's going to be like Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses.
Say Your Illusions 1 and 2. Really? It's going to be like that? Felipe's part. Both of them are coming out on the same day?
Yeah, but they're going to be separated. Like, they're going to be together in one special. One will be English, one will be Spanish.
That's fucking phenomenal, man.
You know, man, I work hard, man.
I know you do.
Yeah.
I did a couple of Spanish shows at the Comedy Store.
And you were going to Tijuana for a while.
Yeah, I was going to Tijuana, Mexico once a month for a year with Rodrigo and Martin Rizzo.
When you went and did the special, were there a lot of white people in your audience? Yes.
Where at?
At the Spanish special.
They showed up and they left.
Did they?
They don't know who'd be in Spanish.
See, that's what I was scared of with the Spanish shows. People didn't see that.
But in the beginning, people didn't know it was going to be in Spanish, so they would show up. So what I did was I found out... at the Comedy Palace. You ever been there?
Yeah, in San Diego.
Yeah, that's another place I used to go there to eat. That place paid $200, $150, and it fed you gyros. That was the first time I ever had a gyro, bro. I ever had goat meat.
That's right.
Yeah, man.
When I did it, they used to put out a cup.
It was called the Greek Palace.
The Greek Palace. And then the kid took it over.
Yeah.
And then they still sold gyros, but... they would pay you from the bucket, and you'd have to stay outside after the show and stand there. And I had already done the longest yard, but I needed the money for cocaine. So they offered me a gig, and the guy gave me like a sort of a guarantee, but if we make more, I'll give you more, and I did good. But I remember that was the hardest money I ever took.
Yeah.
Money out of a bucket that people put in a bucket, that's hard money to take. That's embarrassment money. But the addiction made me take it. That's the last time Then the guy that used to run it got a TV show, and he got some reality show, and he fucking reached out to me like 3 years ago. I'd like you to come and audition for it. Go fuck yourself. I know you're 20 years. Go fuck your mother. I'm going to come audition. Either you give it to me or not. It was some stupid fucking reality show. Who the fuck knows? Felipe, we've done a lot of gigs together, bro.
Shitload, man.
God damn, Felipe. You reached right out to me when I came. We gravitated right to one another, and fucking Willie used to get pissed.
It was your set, bro. We met at the Laugh Factory.
The Laugh Factory on a Monday night. I still think about Marilyn. I still think about all those times. I tell Lee constantly to hit those guys up. That's where you learn to do comedy in this town. It's not in the open mics. It's not in the comedy clubs. It's at those... fucking Orange County sandwich shops. That's where you learn to do comedy.
That's George Perez sandwich shop.
That was tremendous. George Perez had a great shop. Listen, Sebastian Satina ran some great rooms.
Acapulco rooms.
Acapulco rooms.
What are Acapulco?
Casa Latina.
Yeah.
Acapulco. The restaurant.
Acapulco restaurants. Okay.
The restaurant chains. You know how many fucking... That one on Sunset? That's the one now. What's the name of it now?
There's Sunset Room?
Sycamore Tavern. Was the original Acapulco.
That's right. Right there on Sunset.
Yeah.
Dude, when I first started doing stand-up comedy,
I won
a contest there.
Yeah.
I brought all my friends from the projects, bro.
And then they had one in Silver Lake.
Wednesday night.
So if you stay on Sunset and you go
forgot about east that
towards the fucking Scientology building,
right?
Then you make the, you see the movie theater on the corner,
right?
And you make that left. And that right into Silver Lake, 50 yards. That was an Acapulco.
Damn.
So we used to hit the all-you-could-eat. The all-you-could-eat lunch.
So good-ass food, dog.
Stop it, dog. All-you-could-eat lunch, the cheese enchiladas.
We went there for...
with the Mexican rice and the soup and shit with the chips and the all-you-could-drink iced tea.
We went there after Meredith's funeral.
That's the first place I ate dinner in when I moved from Seattle.
Wow.
Me and the girl stopped there with the trailer on Sunset, and then we went to Fairfax.
We took a shower in the fucking trailer, and we ended up going to the Comedy Store, then back to Doug Stanhope's house. And we parked in front of Doug Stanhope's house with the trailer. That's the first dinner I had in L.A. when I became a... When I came into L.A. January 27, 1997, I pulled up at 7 o'clock. We made it through rush hour. We exited Hollywood on Highland, and we said, where's the Comedy Store? That was it. Where's the Comedy Store? She looked it up in the Thomas Guide. We went to, we said, the Comedy Store is still not open till 8 o'clock. We said, fuck it. Let's go to Acapulco. And we took showers. There was a shower that spit out like 3 pounds per minute. It was garbage. Oh, it was like a drain.
In the Comedy Store?
No, in the fucking RV we had.
Oh.
When I drove from L.A., we drove from Seattle. I drove in an RV with a car behind us. And the fucking shower, you had to fill it up with a hose, the thing, and then it would fill up. And then you had like 3 minutes to take a shower with medium water spitting at you. Jesus. And we took a shower and we went over to the Comedy Store. As soon as I walked in, I saw Eddie Griffin and the black guy from the Black Dragon. You know, the guy that played Tumac?
Yeah.
The star of that. I went inside. I went on stage. Who was on stage? Don Barris.
Damn.
Running the open mic. And then I went outside and I saw Wheels Parisi. And I remember him opening up for Andrew Dice Clay and I almost lost my fucking mind.
Wheels Parisi.
So just think about that guy.
I opened for Wheels Parisi in Council Bluff, Iowa. Remember that casino gig?
Yes.
And man, Wheels has game, bro. For a big guy,
I've heard of him. I've never met him.
He loves Asian women, and he hooked up with a front desk chick, bro. He told her he was in the Sopranos.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Doug, if you let that boy tell you, he'll go. Let me get the lighter.
Here you go.
If you let that boy tell you a story, I remember one night
Will tells good stories though,
bro. He'll tell you he was in Goodfellas. What scene were you in? You know, the one with the...
When they're carrying the, you know...
He wasn't even in the fucking neighborhood.
When they're wearing yellow jackets, you know?
He says he was on Letterman. They've threatened him to find the tape. It's out there. It's out there. Those are the best times of my life, having conversations with him. Because we were just...
Yeah, part of pop culture.
Aren't you in the Goodfellas? I'm in Goodfellas. He's in The Godfather. He's in Goodfellas. Oh, my God. He was at the wedding scene in Godfather. He's got more stories than the book. He's been in more movies... Just nobody has seen his roles. They just skip over him in movies. I've never seen anything like that in my life. I'm happy you came in for a nice little Monday chat. You made me feel good. I felt a little bots, especially after the rough weekend with these people and stuff like this. Listen, at this point, I don't give a fuck about what happens. We still run the podcast.
We got the church.
We still do our game. We got the church, that's brother. Right. That's all you need. And I'll be back on the road. I didn't know anything about fucking movies or film. If I offended anybody from The Sopranos, I'm sorry. If they don't want to use me or whatever, and if I offended, you know, anybody else, whatever. What can I tell you? This is what we do here. When you watch a movie from the 70s, you know why they're so good? Because they disturbed you. The Exorcist disturbed you.
Yeah, man.
The Godfather disturbed you. The fucking The Getaway, when Steve McQueen beats on his wife, it disturbed you. All these things disturbed you, but it took you somewhere. It opened up a different door in your mind. When I come here and I fucking spew my shit.
A horror movie, bro. Suspiria.
Yeah. When I come here and spew my shit, I'm not spewing hate or anything. I'm spewing my life and the mistakes I made so you guys know what direction you could take your life.
I mean, look at Animal House. They had a girl they were making out. She ended up being in high school. Like, in a different time, that story you told that got you in trouble could be like the opening scenes of your movie, and people love it.
What are you going to fucking do? You know what I'm saying? Really what are you going to do, man? You're not going to please everybody all the time. But you know what? You could be yourself. You want to penalize him for me being me? Go ahead. I don't give a fuck. You're not going nowhere. These people aren't buying it, neither are me. So it's over. You know why? Because we canceled it. I don't give a fuck. You can't intimidate me. Not now. Now I did my time. I did my time, and I'm going to get what I got when I get. Right? That's what he says in Goodfellas. I did my time.
I got mouths to feed.
I did what I was supposed to do for this country. I was a felon. I did my time. I came out, and I took my life in a different direction. Did I make mistakes along that way? Yes, I did, but I still got to where I'm going. And the message is still loud and clear. I don't give a fuck if you think you're retarded. You could do what the fuck we're doing. We're no geniuses. These actors you see, they're no geniuses. They're insecure retards just like me. I'm an insecure retard. But we put something together. So if I could do it with no family, no mother, no father, no education, could you imagine what these people could do with everything they got? Man. We don't have what most people have. So if we could do it, you got to go for it with and, both fucking hands.
And listen, man, a lot of people say, oh, so I'm going to use drugs. I'm going to do all this to make it. Bro, you're lucky, bro. You don't have to go through none of that
shit. You don't have to go through none of that.
He's telling you these things so you won't go through that.
So fuck you.
But if you want to do it, that's up to you, cocksucker.
Fuck him. What's your next date? Promote your date.
I'm going to be July 3rd, 4th, and 5th, San Antonio, Texas. July 16, 17, 18, Houston Improv. Over there with, what's his name? The same people there. Houston Improv, man. Oh, man. If they would have seen the shit we did at the Laugh Stop.
They would have put us in jail, dude. They would put us in jail.
But that was one of the best owners, though, man. Pete was a real nice guy. I love Pete. Girl. And Pete brought that that young kid who didn't speak no Spanish. And by the time they closed, he spoke better English than most people.
David. I still miss David. I lost his number somewhere along the line. We got disconnected.
Remember his cousin with a horrible weed?
His cousin had good coke. He had horrible weed, but that motherfucker had that cartel coke. That shit will make you eat it. That dude always had an 8-ball for me. As soon as I landed, all I had to do was get to the club. I would call him the night before. You know, I'm coming to Houston tomorrow. Dog, it's in my drawer. What's in your drawer? The package. It's already in your drawer. Just have the cash ready. Boom. I would get to the hotel, call the club, tell the owner to have the drawer ready for me. I'm going to need it because I got to buy sneakers. There was no sneakers. I was buying the fucking biggest rock of coke there was in Houston at that night, so. We lived a long life, Felipe, and we're still here to tell the stories. We're still touring. There's guys that have come and gone that were fucking going to take over the world. And where are they today? They're fucking lost.
Lost.
Still here. So thank you for coming.
Still here.
On a Monday morning podcast. Don't forget to listen to Felipe's podcast.
The What's Up Fool podcast.
That's right. I wore the sweatshirt on
also,
stage.
Watch me on Hentified on Netflix.
Really?
I have a recurring role on a show on Netflix called Hentified.
Hentified?
I play a guy named Crazy Dave.
Okay.
And we just got asked to do season two.
You're fucking beautiful, brother. This is what I'm talking about. Do you remember, I was asking Rodrigo, do you remember we used to do acting classes in
your porch?
My backyard. There you
me,
go,
you,
people.
Rick Ramos, Cisco.
There you go, people.
And Rodrigo.
When you really want to do it, you fucking do it. We didn't have money for an acting class, so
we were doing the scenes from
Donnie Brasco.
The scene where his son is in the hospital for heroin overdose, and we're doing the scene with
Oh, Donnie, shit, Deb. Yeah.
And then you were trying to be like, it was the scene where... So you want me to do a smack him in the face?
Yeah.
And then your response was, I got blisters. Or I got my knuckles, I have calluses or something.
We
like
did that.
That
scene, and we also did the scene from Carlito's Way.
Yeah.
When he goes to visit the guy in jail. I got the holes dug. I got the lime ready. I got the shovels. All I need is the fucking word, and you go in that fucking hole. You understand me? But Mr. Whatever, I never stole your money. Shut the fuck up. I do a little. I do a lot of business with Jews, but I never liked your sign, Kleinfeld.
And we always talk about. I remember that day when we were doing that scene, we got high, and we ended up talking about how badass that one white actor came in playing that Puerto Rican. Come on, man.
What was the movie?
Carlito's Way. The little.
Oh, yeah.
He came in a fucking wheelchair, bro.
Oh, he killed that scene. The guy that won the Academy Award with Sebastian in Green Book.
Yeah.
He played a Puerto Rican in that.
The black guy?
The white guy.
Dude. Oh, the white guy. Oh.
Dude. What's his name? The white dude that played that movie in Guest Book.
And he came on the movie American Way, too.
He's down, dog. He's done a thousand.
But, dude, that scene.
That scene. Well, then he tells him, what impressed me was he asked him if he wanted un pase.
Un pase.
That's a word that people will never, ever use again. That means a bump in Cuban. Que un pase. So when he said that, his name is on the tip of my tongue. And I can't remember. Vito Morganson. Vito Morganson. When Vito Morganson played in that wheelchair. He came in the wheelchair. You guys
strung out all dirty.
That was it. We were talking about how good that was. Nobody even mentioned his fucking name.
Come on, that's, man. That's, you got everything, scene, man. I got to shit through a fucking pie, man.
I can't even fuck no more.
I can't even fuck no more, man. And then Luis Guzman comes down. You're going to fucking shoot him. Yeah, man, shoot me, man.
Shoot him,
man.
Shoot me, you miserable fuck. You're a bad motherfucker. You got a website?
I got a website, FelipeWorld.com.
Okay. I love you to all my
friends. I love you too. Thank you too, Steve.
First of all, thank you for supporting me. Thank you for the kind words you wrote on the internet about me Friday night. And I want to thank you for coming on the show and not being part of the fucking cancel community. That fucking shit is done. The cancel culture is done amongst comics. You fucking assholes have done enough to fucking try to be cute and... if you don't like the fucking show, switch the fucking channel. That's it, motherfuckers. It's over. Before we go, real quick, I want to talk about Onnit. A lot of people are trying to get their lives together, their minds together, their health together. It all starts at Onnit.com. Why? They have the best supplements in the business. Shroom Tech Sport. Shroom Tech Immune. They got the new hemp. They've got the new mood, which I just got a shipment of. Alpha Brain. They got Alpha Brain in a powder. You can put it in water, shake it up, and take it with you throughout the day. They got everything. They just sent me, oh, my God, fucking puffs, protein puffs.
Yeah, you said they have pizza
16
flavor.
Calories a bag, a small little bag, pizza flavored. Wait till they release those. They got shit going on that you wouldn't believe. But listen, why fucking, why talk about it? Go to Onnit.com right now. Take a look at the supplements. I can't help you with the bats. And I can't help you with the kettlebells, but the supplements, I get you 10% off, delivered to your house. How's that for you? Press in code
CHURCH,
CHURCH, and get 10 points, 10% off. Listen, you're confused right now? All of us are. We don't know what's going on. I know you don't have a lot of money, whatever's going on, but if you're going to make an investment, get a little Alpha Brain. Get your mind back. It makes you focused through nootropics. I could break it down for you, but I don't know what I'm saying. I'm not that smart, but that's how I got my fucking jazz back. That's how I got, what's the name of that movie with the girl? How she got her groove back?
Stella
got her groove back. That's how Joey got his groove back with this fucking Alpha Brain. So do yourself a favor. Go to Onnit.com. Press in.
Church.
Bam.
Bam.
Get 10% off. Also, you're working out. You got pains. You got arthritis. You got inflammation. You got swelling. When I tore my hamstring... CBD line was fucking tremendous. I like this, their cream so much that I use it as a moisturizer. That's how much I like their cream. Their CBD lotion, 1,000 milligrams, whether it's shin. As soon as I come out of the shower at night, I dry off and I rub it from my knees all the way down to my feet, and I fucking relax, okay? My skin's soft again, no more dry skin. I put it on my hamstring. It helped with the pain. Listen, they just go to CBDLion.com. Go to the website. If you have an ailment, they have the solution. They'll tell you exactly what CBD get, what flavor, what options you got, whether you want to smoke it, whether you want to take the tincture, whether you want to use the teddy bear, the gummy bears, whether you want to use the bath salts. CBD Lion got you. Do me a favor. Go to CBDLion.com right now. Press in.
Church.
And get 20% off delivered to your house. Listen, you want to start small? Start with the strawberry gummies. Start with the raspberry gummy bears. You're going to hit me up on Twitter and say, Joey, what the fuck? You're a savage. Why hasn't nobody else told me about this? If you're buying your CBD oil at some fucking store or some you don't know what the fuck you're doing. I'm a 57-year-old man. I got aches and pains. Everything hurts. CBD line helps me with that. Anxiety, insomnia. So if you're having any of these problems, CBD can help you. Listen, start today. Go to CBDLion.com. Press in code
CHURCH
and get 20% off delivered to your house. I want to thank Felipe Esparza. I want to thank the Christ Killer. And most importantly, I want to thank you guys. Don't forget, we're also on Spotify, YouTube, iTunes. We don't even know the next few weeks, things are going to be happening, but we'll keep you posted. You know what I'm saying? So I love you guys. Have a great week. Uncle Joey fucking adores you motherfuckers. Thank you for having my back. We set a precedent today on fucking Twitter. We set a precedent by letting people know they just can't cancel you because you're not their cup of tea. Fuck you. Switch the channel, bitches. Lee, kick this fucking mule.